Lord, I pray that you help us to empty our minds of all other things, so that we may listen to the word that you have for each of us. Help us to open up our lives to the plans that you have for us. Amen. Okay, so for me to say that we don't often use readings from the Old Testament would probably be a bit incorrect, because we've been, if you've noticed, we've been following a mini-series on Genesis recently. But generally, we've not focused too much on the Old Testament. And this book, particularly Ecclesiastes, is not one we refer to often. If you were to look at a Bible bookcase, you'd find that the book of Ecclesiastes is in the wisdom section. So I don't know if you can see it, it's there. Okay, amongst poetry and wisdom. And I must admit that I'd never considered the way that the Bible is split up until actually Helen gave out these images some time ago, and I've kept it in my Bible case ever since, just sort of splitting it up. But anyway, this reading popped up last week as I was starting to think about what I was going to say today, and it was actually mentioned on Radio 2. Anybody else a Radio 2 listener? Well, one or two, admitting. Okay, and it was in a pause for thought. And in fact, it was a reading and a book that I'd really not heard much about in all of the things that I'd done. And so, however, once I looked it up, I felt that it really fitted in with the theme of fair trade, and indeed the position that we're in here in Cloverfield right now. And in fact, as Bob was reading it, I really felt about Sol and Anna and how that fitted in, not only just you working as a pair, but also going out and working as a team, and that importance of working together. So that really spoke to me as Bob was reading it, which it hadn't done before. So anyway, the book of Ecclesiastes is one of the wisdom books in the Bible, and there's some dispute about the author, but many believe it was King Solomon, and written about 935 BC. And it's been regarded as relevant to our lives today, written from a very human perspective, representing a journey from one point to another. The content, it's been suggested, reveals that the author was looking back on a life, long in experience, but lacking in lasting rewards. It points to a life which could be better and more simple in the light of God's direction. In fact, the whole of chapter 4, from which our reading comes, deals with oppression, the need for balance in our approach to labour, and the need to share things with others, helping one another, and most of all, listening to advice. So let us consider how this reading applies to the world we live in today, particularly in terms of fair trade, us as individuals, and as Team Cloverfield. So we've heard a bit about fair trade already this morning, and all the different products that are now available and supported by fair trade. The Fair Trade label was established in the UK about 26 years ago, although globally there have been attempts to establish fair trade much earlier than that. Fair trade is aimed at improving the lives of those who produce the things that we love. So, for example, the chocolate industry in the UK is worth £4 billion a year. The average cocoa farmer in Côte d'Ivoire and Ghana, where 60% of all cocoa is grown, they earn just 75p a day. This is well below the extreme poverty line of £1.40 a day. That just really makes you think, doesn't it? So next time you're eating your chocolate bar, just ponder that, really. So typically a cocoa bean farmer earns less than 7% of the price per tonne. Processors and brands receive around 35%, and manufacturers around 44%. So you can see the imbalance. This makes it very difficult for farmers to pay for the schooling for their children, particularly once they reach senior school, because they have to travel away from home and there's accommodation and food to pay for in addition to education fees. It's a sorry state of affairs, and you wonder how it has come to this when you consider that way back in the Old Testament, Moses was given a set of rules. Set of rules by God. Amongst them were laws to protect poor people and foreigners. So this particular reading from Deuteronomy could make a difference to the cocoa farmers. Do not take advantage of a hired worker who is poor and needy. Whether that worker is a fellow Israelite or a foreigner residing in one of your towns, pay them their wages each day before sunset, because they are poor and counting on it. So one of the problems is that in those days it would have been a law which was hard to follow. The farmers paying the wages were also often very poor themselves, and there might have been differences in religions and fighting taking place with neighbouring countries. However, the rules Moses wrote down said that treating everyone fairly, whatever your differences, was an important part of serving God. And that holds true today, doesn't it? So fair trade is not just about paying a fair price for the goods, though. Although that's clearly important, it's about empowerment for those farmers, working to achieve a gender balance among communities and working to help protect environments. The thing that struck me when I was researching this was the words working to. So in all of their aims, they're recognising there's still a way to go. They're working towards those goals. And the fact that the community, fair trade community, is supporting people in these difficult environments is a step in the right direction. So I'm just going to read you Lucia's story. And there are many more farmer stories around here for you to look at later on. So Lucia belongs to a fair trade cocoa cooperative called, if my pronunciation's right, Golia Gorbo in Sierra Leone. So Lucia is a cocoa farmer in Sierra Leone. She lives in a community nestled on the edge of the Gola rainforest, sharing her forest home with chimpanzees, hundreds of rare bird species, and the elusive pygmy hippo, of which only 3,000 remain. Lucia cares deeply about her forest home and wants to protect it. But it's not easy to do that when you have to make difficult choices to survive. Farming in the rainforest is tough. The environment is hot, wet, and provides ideal conditions for the rapid spread of plant disease. And in the past, Lucia's family have been left hungry because disease has riddled their cocoa farm. They simply didn't have enough money to spare to try out growing other crops to fall back on when their cocoa was unripe or diseased. Without these options, Lucia's family were pushed deeper into poverty and hunger. Even when the family worked hard to grow healthy, disease-free pods, challenges remained. Chimpanzees would come to the farm and wreak havoc, hollowing out the ripe, sweet cocoa beans from their pods, destroying the whole crop and leaving the farm strewn with empty shells. With their crop gone, so was the family income. Once again, Lucia and her husband, Sidi, would struggle to find the money to feed their children. Lucia has seen many farmers harm animals out of desperation or turn to mining, logging, or rice farming as an alternative source of income. But she's also seen the destruction these activities bring to her beloved forest. Although life as a farmer has been difficult for Lucia, she's determined to improve her family's livelihood through cocoa while protecting their forest home. This belief holds true for many more farmers like Lucia. Lucia and other cocoa farmers on the edge of the Gola rainforest were supported by RSPB, Divine Chocolate and Comic Relief to come together and form a fair trade cooperative called Golia Gorbu Cocoa Farmers Union. Where passions for social and environmental justice run deep, their name means we who live by the forest edge. In the Gola Gorbu, our cocoa is our hope. Because we work together, the quality of our cocoa has improved and our income has increased. Lucia's determination shines through when she speaks about Golia Gorbu's formation. She is justifiably proud of the changes she and her husband have made to their farm. Golia Gorbu was certified in late 2019 and are now selling some of their cocoa on fair trade terms to the UK, which means they'll receive fair trade minimum price and fair trade premium. It's clear that Lucia is passionate and hopeful about the future. Her drive for change has led to be the chairperson of the Fair Trade Premium Committee, a decision-making role which will help determine the future of Golia Gorbu. And so you can see how Lucia and her husband have gone from working on their own to working with a cooperative of people. They share the work amongst the farms. So a group getting together on one farm one day, and then they move to another farm the following day. and so on. And this way the work is done more quickly. And with support from others, they can share ideas and make decisions affecting not only the price that they receive, but also about their own environment, finding ways to deter wildlife rather than destroying it. And if you picked up on her words where she said, cocoa is our hope, because we work together, the quality of our cocoa has improved and our income has increased. So it's exactly what it's saying in our reading about working together to improve things. And as I said, there's stories of farmers dotted around the room, so please do have a look at those, and a reminder about this stall. And remember that when you're buying those, you're helping people like Lucia to improve her life. But what we're learning here from the Bible is not just about fair trade, but also about us as individuals too. We can take note from the reading about the benefits of working together. We've done this on many projects, such as Operation Christmas Child. By working together and establishing a stall, we've been able to increase the number of boxes that we sent off to support the campaign. By buying fair trade items, we're helping each other, or helping others, to work together in cooperatives, helping them to achieve better payment for the goods they produce. And if you remember the last time I led the service, we were talking about how to save the planet. And it's important that as individuals, we play our part in recycling and saving electricity, etc. But how much more can we achieve if we all work together on these plans? God knows a thing or two, you know.
Amen.
So, a recent Bible reading for me was this one, taken from 1 John. And it says, "And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." And in the supporting text with that reading, there was a reminder that Jesus has promised us eternal life in heaven if we fulfill the promises we make to him when we accept him as our Saviour. In other words, we need to give ourselves completely to him in faith and obedience. But it's not enough just to accept the reality of Jesus. Believing in Jesus means to fully accept the truth of his words. An active and life-changing conviction that enables Christ's following to live according to his instructions and expectations. Believing is being. So not only did we get those rules way back in the Old Testament through Moses about following God's direction, or in Ecclesiastes, it comes to us again in the New Testament, which of course should be no surprise. Jesus, the Son of God, is delivering the same message. Giving our lives to Christ means becoming a servant to others as an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven. It's the most important job we'll ever have. If we do it to the best of our ability, then one day we will hear the words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Okay, so what about us as Cloverfield Community Church? We're now 4 months into the interregnum. And guess what? We're still doing fine. We're still okay. So why is that? Well, it's because we're following that guidance by God in our reading. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labour. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. If there was just one of us working away trying to keep the church going, then that one person might well be struggling by now. Of course, Helen helped to set us up as a team that can work effectively. Although she was the figurehead for the church, she was also great at empowering us all to take and play a part in the running of the church. A bit like the fair trade movement with the farmers. At the time of her sabbatical, we were a little anxious, but we got through those 3 months without too much problem. In fact, on her return, she said that she felt that we had not only survived her sabbatical, but had thrived. It was good training for the situation we find ourselves in now. And if we reflect on the last few months, we can see how we have been working together. helping each other up when we stumble. I'm reassured that we genuinely are following God's direction. We might have the odd little hiccup, but I pray that we continue to listen to his word. So I've been reading a book recently. It's called The Jesus I Never Knew by Philip Yancey. And a piece that really struck me and felt relevant to this talk was in the chapter about temptation, Showdown in the Desert. So Yancey was explaining his wonder at the restraint Jesus showed when he was tempted in the wilderness. He said, "I believe God insists on such restraint because no pyrotechnic displays of omnipotence will achieve the response he desires. Although power can force obedience, only love can summon a response of love, which is the one thing God wants from us and the reason he created us." This resonates with the fair trade movement, the working together, supporting farmers, encouraging them. What you might call a loving way is achieving far more than forcing things to change. Similarly for us, by encouraging each other, supporting one another, we can grow and develop into a team, God's team, living as he intended us to live, loving one another as a church family. So we can see that God's hand is in the fair trade organisation, helping farmers to work together to form cooperatives, by encouraging those that have to pay realistic prices, by encouraging us to choose fair trade products. We can see his hand in our individual lives when we make choices in what we purchase, how we work together in good times and through challenges. Here too, within our church family, we can feel him in our midst, and we can help remind each other that ultimately the great truth of Ecclesiastes lies in acknowledging God's ever-present hand on our lives, even when injustice and uncertainty threaten to overwhelm us. We can trust God and follow after him. Let us trust God in everything we do. So let us pray. Lord, help us to follow the path you have laid for us. Help us to follow the rules you have shown us, but above all else, help us to trust in you, no matter what is going on in our lives. Amen.